Time to check in with the Friday Night Lights and Chicago Radio's only prep football scores, stats, and stories program on 720 WGN. This is Preps Plus Chicago with your host, Sam Panionovich.
This is actually a live crowd, I promise. They are live, they are not pre-recorded. The people need their Preps Plus. Whose birthday is it again? Happy birthday. We welcome you to Season 7, Week 1 of Preps Plus Chicago. Those are the great Preps Plus fans outside the Allstate Showcase studio. On 720 WGN, as I said, this is the seventh year we've done this show, and to kick it off, we've got a great one for you, per usual. Joey Gelman, by the way, is the executive producer this year, and this time next year, and hopefully through the remainder of the season and through the playoffs, Kevin Powell will be riding shotgun. So you've got Panionovich, Powell, and Gelman here. And the moral of the story here on this show is you've got a son, you've got a nephew, a cousin, a grandson, a brother that plays high school football. You want to know how the team did. You help us, we help you. The text line, the scores, keep them coming, and we will get as many as we can in throughout the rest of the show. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. We'll do scores at about 15, 35, and 55 of the top 20 in the Chicago Tribune, 17 in action today. Number one, number two, number three, number four, all on the road. And we've got a couple good matchups. Number 11 at number 17, 15 and 14 locking heads. And then I found this interesting. For the first time that I can ever recall here in Chicago, we've got high school football on Sunday at Soldier Field. Mount Carmel will play against Taft. Brother Rice will play against Marist. About 10 minutes from now, we will be joined by the head coach of Marist High School. That's on the south side, 115th and Pulaski, give or take a couple of blocks. Pat Dunn and his Redhawks will face Brother Rice. They're in one of those Sunday games at Soldier Field. And coach led that Redhawks squad into what I thought was a surprising run into the 8A final last year. So we'll talk to Dunn about 10:20. High school football, I didn't play it, but I understand how special it is for many of you listening right now, probably on the way back home from some of these games. I just joked about it in crosstalk. The memories that these 16, 17, 8-year-old kids make on Friday nights, some of them will take them forever, and they will never forget. They will always be able to look back. I've had friends that have won state titles. I've had friends that have lost state titles. You've got a buddy that misses a tackle on a big play that loses a title. He's going to never be able to live that down. So you hope the memories are good. You hope the kids stay healthy. And we will be here every step of the way through the 2016 final, which would be Thanksgiving weekend. I believe it's in Champaign this year. Sometimes it changes on me, and I can't really keep up with it. But this is the spot, the only place in Chicago where you can hear high school football stories and scores on Friday night. It's Preps Plus on 720 WGN. Our first guest this season, and we welcome him in right now, 312-981-7200 from the Chicago Tribune. He's on Twitter at Mike Clark Preps. He's out at Montini at Main South. No final yet, right, Mike?
Correct. We got about just under 2 minutes left.
And what's the score right now?
It's 44-13 Main South.
So Main South, and I know, Mike, we talk about this, and you've covered high school for a long time. The preseason rankings, I think they're hilarious because you can never please everybody. But on paper, when you look at number 10, Montini, going on the road, I didn't see them losing by 25-plus.
No, I don't think anybody did. We're just doing a little bit of quick research up in the press box. I think this is Montini's worst loss since 2004, so... of course, they haven't had a lot of losses, period, but this is not something anyone saw coming.
And these two teams have played together before. This isn't the first meeting. This is a pre-conference season rivalry, so to speak, isn't it?
Right, and they've played the last 3 years, and they've all been close games, great games that came down to the end, basically. All of them, I think, by less than 3 points, so... this is something that not too many people saw coming, like we said.
So a big lead for Main South. They're up by more than 30 points on number 10, Montini, out in Park Ridge. I wanted to hit on this, Mike, before we let you go and we get some scores in here. You wrote about Rich Zanini at Bishop McNamara. 42 seasons. This is his 42nd season coaching Bishop McNamara. They won a title last year. What is he still doing coaching high school football?
He just loves it. I mean, you know, it's... he's coaching in his hometown. He doesn't teach anymore. He's he's just a legend there, obviously, you know, with five state titles total, you know, and he just loves what he's doing right now. I mean, as I wrote in the story, you know, he joined a health club, lost 30 pounds over the offseason. He looks great. He's feeling great. You know, it's a great story.
334 wins, five state titles, 42 years at Bishop Mack, and he just keeps coming back for more. We can all relate with that one, can't we, Mike?
That's right. And we are down to 12 seconds. It looks like that's going to be the final, by the way, 44-13.
Okay, so there you have it. Up to the minute updates from Mike Clark from the Chicago Tribune. Maine South with a big convincing win over number 10 Montini, 44-13. Thanks, Mike. We'll talk to you throughout the way.
Great. Thanks, guys.
It's Mike Clark from the Chicago Tribune. You can follow him on Twitter at Mike Clark Preps. Now, normally, this would be reserved for Kevin Powell, but I'm going to do this today. We'll let it slide. Here's your first look at the scores.
Now, Preps Plus Chicago scoreboard.
And remember, let's keep these coming in. 312-981-7200. You can call, you can text. Joey will be monitoring those scores. Let's get you a for sure update. Look at the top 20. Number one, Loyola, an easy win on the road in Milwaukee, 36-7 over Marquette. Lincoln Way East, ranked number two, no problem in South Bend, 49-12 win over Adams. Number three, Glenbard North, up on Naperville Central, 35-6. A defensive game in Bolingbrook. Number four, Glenbard West, 17, Bolingbrook 7. It's final in HF. The Vikings, ranked number six, win by 50, 56-6 over Downers Grove South. Tight one out in Fenwick. Number seven, Phillips, trailing by a point. It's 27-26, Fenwick late. Wabansi Valley doubling up Lake Park, 16-8. Neuqua Valley, final. Number nine, they win 35-7 over Matilla Valley. As Mike Clark just told you, it's final in Park Ridge. Maine South upsets number 10 Montini, 44-13. Tight one out in Libertyville, number 11 Palatine, 28. Number 17 Stevenson, 20. It's final in our game of the week, which we will bring in Mike Helfgott about 10:35, rather. Prairie Ridge, 26. Cary Grove, 14. Both of those teams in the top 20. Number 16, Oak Park, rather, 21. Simeon, nothing. Number 18, Nazareth, 56. Dunbar, 12. It's final in Crete, 42-7. The Vikings beat TF South. And number 20, Batavia, in a defensive battle in Belleville, 7-5, they lead Belleville West. We've got some other scores as we go. East, 46. Joliet West, 14. That's a final. So are the rest of these. Crystal Lake Central, 42. Grant, 7. Joliet Catholic loses in Wisconsin to Franklin, 24-14. Marshall, 32. Florida, 18. Bloomington, 35. Peoria Emanuel, 14. DuSable puts up 72. They beat Chicago Christian Academy, 72-6. 6-0, Plainfield East over Joliet Central. Chicago Heights, Marion Catholic, 53. Urban Prep, 16. Geneva, 45. St. Francis, Wheaton Academy, 7. McHenry, 45. Crystal Lake South, 31. We'll get you more scores at about 10:35. We'll do it again at 10:55. If we didn't get your team in, text it in, 312-981-7200.
Friday Night Lights and Preps Plus Chicago on 720 WGN.
Preps Plus Chicago, 720 WGN, as we did last season, about this time, 1020, we talked to a coach that you want to hear from, and usually in the top 20. This week, this season, we start out with Pat Dunn, who's the head coach of the Marist Redhawks. Interesting situation there, coach, as we welcome you in. You guys play on Sunday against Brother Rice. Is that a first for you at the high school level?
Yeah, you know, a couple years ago we played on some Saturday nights, but Sunday I believe it is. You know, for us that playing on a Sunday, so it should be definitely a little different feel there, but excited.
Number 13 Marist against number 12 Brother Rice. That'll be Sunday at Soldier Field. The Redhawks last year 9-5. Some would say somewhat of a surprising run to the 8A title game last year. Would you say it was surprising?
You know what? I mean, with our seniors and that leadership from last year, they were a group that I think knowing the kids and obviously seeing them compete each and every day in practice, I would not say it was a surprise by any means. They, faced adversity and kept fighting and got better through the season. And, it was a lot of, testament to their character.
I've been told the kids are calling your offense fun and done. Lots of shootouts. Get this, a game last year where you guys beat Barrington 59-56. And oh, by the way, in 2011, a regular season game, the Redhawks beat Carmel 64-63. What is it like to coach in a shootout?
You just you hope you have the ball, you know, last, and you can put it in there. You score last, but you know, those are games again that, you know, obviously they're great memories if you're on the winning side. But those are games that, you know, again, you don't want to be in by any means. You know, you'd rather be up and have a secure lead. But yeah, those were games that, you know, again, our guys competed all the way to the end, and it's something that we talk about. You know, here is you know, you play all the way down to the last down. It doesn't matter what the situation is, and you play to win.
It's never easy to replace a senior quarterback. Teams do it all the time. You lose Brendan Skalitzky, who's going to walk on at Ohio State, and he's a Buckeye. That's pretty cool. What does your situation look like this year? I know there was a battle in camp, but you've decided on quarterback Morgan Taylor to run the show?
Yeah, we have. You know, we've had also Mike Marquette, who is a sophomore, and both those guys we feel very confident in. But, yeah, Morgan will be out there Sunday, and, you know, we're looking forward to seeing, you know, him compete. He's led the offense tremendously throughout the summer. And, again, you know, he's a team player, and obviously he's been a good leader amongst our seniors on both sides of the ball. So we're excited about him.
Is your defense on the rise? Because I've been told people close to your program say people think about shootouts and they think about lots of points, but the defense might be the staple this year at Marist.
Well, you know what? Yeah, we're excited. You know, obviously we're excited about both sides of the ball, but, you know, defensively we do have some guys returning over there, and, you know, we're excited. I know through camp, excited how they've performed, and, you know, looking forward to obviously getting out competing against someone else. But, you know, we know one thing is everyone's 0-0 right now, and, you know, we've been going against each other so well. You know, you might look good against each other. You got to make sure it carries over into the games.
Marist head coach Pat Dunn with us on 720 WGN. The number 13 Redhawks will play number 12 Brother Rice on Sunday at Soldier Field. So if we could be honest for a second, you take the job about 9 years ago. When the conversation comes around Southside football, it's Mount Carmel, Brother Rice, St. Rita. What's been the biggest challenge? And you're building something great there on 115th Pulaski. But what was the biggest challenge early on about getting Marist's name back into that conversation?
Well, you know what? I mean, first and foremost is our guys that we've had, you know, go through this program. You know, the alumni there and the players that, you know, have played in it and currently playing in it. But it's, you know, I think it's just, like you said, it's there's tradition here and the guys are building off it. And each year it seems like each team takes something from, you know, the year past or years past on that end. But, you know, I really feel like our program, you know, is kind of, it's really built on just, you know, hard work, and, you know, we've trial by error and continue to just kind of move forward and you know, being in the moment. That's what we've really stressed with the program and kind of focusing, you know, just on ourselves, not worrying about you know, what others are doing.
How many of your players can out bench press you?
Oh, probably all of them.
All of them.
You know,
they're all
in great shape. But no, we got a lot of guys that like the weight room, and I'd venture to say pretty much all of them.
Kids are getting bigger and stronger. It's absolutely amazing. So Marist runs what you guys call the no huddle spread. For those that don't know what the no huddle spread is there a college team that you've sort of replicate or you take things from? How would you describe your offense to somebody that's never seen Marist play?
You know what? I would say we're multiple, I would call us. You know, I mean, absolutely, we've got an up-tempo and stuff, but I think we're a multiple offense that can do, you know, hopefully a lot of different things and, you know, hopefully do them well. But, you know, I don't know if I'd particularly say one school as far as colleges that we model our stuff off of, but obviously we've, you know, studied a lot of college programs and tried doing what's best for our kids here. You know, that's the one thing is looking at each year our personnel that we have and what they can do best, you know, not necessarily trying to fit the offense onto them.
Well, it's more Oregon than it is Minnesota, right? I mean, you want to get guys out in space, get the ball, and make plays.
We'd love to, you know, we'd love to obviously do that and be balanced, you know, throwing and running. But, you know, each game, that's the one thing I think kind of when looking back on everything is every game kind of dictates where that stuff goes, you know, as far as what the situations are and, you know, like that. But, yeah, we definitely like getting guys out in space and, you know, trying to obviously move the ball and score.
I'm looking at your schedule here, Coach. This is a doozy. This is a tough schedule. How much will this team be better prepared in the postseason, knowing that you went through this gauntlet in the regular season?
You know what? I mean, I think that's one of the things, you know, with high school football is obviously you play a schedule, and these guys know that, you know, all they're focused on is Sunday, and each week is a grind, and that's how it's been here, I feel like, in our program, you know, for at least the last 9 years, is there's no week off, and our guys, you know, honestly, really just focus on the week because you can never look past an opponent, you know, with this schedule.
Pat Dunn, head coach of the Marist Redhawks, ranked number 13 in the Tribune preseason top 20. It's Redhawks and Crusaders, Brother Rice. They will battle on Sunday at Soldier Field. Thank you, Coach. Good luck down the road.
Thanks so much, Sam.
1028, 720 WGN, Preps Plus Chicago. Look at this. I get 90 seconds or so to chat with Rob Martier.
Oh, man, I'm so excited the high school football's crank back up again for the year. I am. Looking forward to it.
Do you remember that one time I had an hour show to do? And I was looking forward to talking to you and Joel Erchek, and Northwestern basketball went to triple thousand overtime.
Bled into, would we have like about a minute and 45 seconds to do a Preps Plus?
I had, no, this wasn't Preps Plus. This was just a fill-in
show.
Oh, that's
right. Yeah, you were filling in.
And I said, this is the best 3 minutes I will ever give you.
This is the best 3 minutes of radio ever.
Oh,
it was good. It was solid.
And this show, the show flies by. Did you like the live crowd?
I did.
At the beginning of the show?
Absolutely.
They were all fans of you.
I'm sure.
They all went to Glenbrook South.
Well, come on. GBS, the Fighting Titans.
When was the last time you put on a high school jersey?
You mean when I actually fit into it?
Well, I don't know. That I wouldn't imagine you wearing them after high school.
No, no. It was my senior year. That was it.
Doesn't time fly, though? I mean, it's unbelievable.
Let's see. I graduated from South in 89. But it was fun. It was fun. I had a great time. Good school.
And you played what in high school?
Outside linebacker.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've knocked me over in the hallways a couple of times.
I'll tell you what, man. Take no prisoners. I remember, real quick, reliving my glory days here. We were in Evanston for a game against the Wildcats. They were heavily favored. I go running down the field on a kickoff, just hell-bent on hitting anything in the other jersey. This guy comes out of nowhere. I had a bead on the returner. This guy, who looked like Wilbur Marshall, comes out of nowhere and sends me flying. Next thing I know, I'm looking out my ear hole watching the guy run past me.
Just a split second late,
man,
right?
Man, you know what? I was so close.
Yeah.
So close.
Well, we will revisit this throughout the year. You'll be with us all season long.
Now, Preps Plus Chicago. Scoreboard.
I have so many scores, I don't even know what to do with them. We will talk to Mike Helfgott, the lead Preps writer for the Chicago Tribune, after these scores are done. The top 20, let's start there. No problem for number one Loyola in Milwaukee. They beat Marquette 36-7. Number two Lincoln Way East, crushing South Bend Adams 49-12. Easy win for number three Glenbard North 35-6. They get by Naperville Central. Final in Bolingbrook. Number four Glenbard West 17, Bolingbrook 7. Homewood Flossmoor wins by 50, 56-6 over Downers Grove South. Vikings rank number 6. An upset in Oak Park, Fenwick 34, number 7 Phillips 26. They took a knee to end the game. Number 8 Wabansee Valley with a 16-8 win at Lake Park. Neuqua Valley at home, no problem with Matilla Valley, 35-7. Number 10 Montini, they get crushed at Maine South, 44-13. The Hawks win by 31. Top 20 tilt. Number 11, Palatine, beats number 17, Stevenson, 28-20. Mike Helfgott was just there. Prairie Ridge wins at Cary Grove, 26-14. Both of those teams in the top 15. Number 16, Oak Park, 21, Simeon, 14. Nazareth getting by Dunbar quite easily. Number 18, Naz, 56, Dunbar, 12. TF South, no chance at Crete, 42-7. The win for number 19, Crete Monee. And we round up the top 20. Number 20, Batavia, 27, Belleville West 9. Here's some more scores for you. St. Charles East 39, South Elgin 9. We the Battle of Red Grange, Wheaton North 36, Wheaton Warrenville South 21. Let's see, where do I go from here? So many. Oswego East 46, Joliet West 14, Crystal Lake Central 42, Fox Lake Grant 7, Bloomington 35, Peoria Emanuel 14, DuSable 72, Chicago Christian 6. Geneva 45, Wheaton St. Francis 7, McHenry 45, Crystal Lake South 31, Lake Forest 30, Glenbard East 6, Naperville, Neuqua Valley, actually I already got to that one, Lincoln Way West 30, Proviso West 8, Libertyville 27, Elk Grove nothing, Prospect beats Hinsdale South 20-16, Aurora Central 22, Aurora Christian 3. And our guys at St. Ignatius, John O'Connor, Chucky P, and the boys, a double overtime win on the road. St. Ignatius 12, Bremen 6. That is your Preps Plus scoreboard. I will try and find my wind before we bring in our next guest. He's sponsored this year, by the way. Mike Helfgott from the Chicago Tribune. You can follow him on Twitter at mhelfgott. He joins us now. Sponsored by Lou Malnati's. How about that? You can get the home of Chicago's Deep Dish Pizza, one of 40-plus Chicagoland locations. Order online, loumalnati's.com. Nice ring to it, Coach.
Well, Coach, I've certainly sponsored Lou Malnati's long enough, so it's about time.
We got to get you out of that cave by the end of this show. So tell me the story here. We were Prairie Ridge and Cary Grove. I expected probably a 10-7 game, but they're celebrating in Crystal Lake because Prairie Ridge with a nice 12-point win on the road.
Yeah, three touchdowns, a couple of triple option teams. Prairie Ridge had three touchdowns, touchdown passes, although I don't know if a hook and lateral is considered one, but they pulled out the hook and lateral in the first half. One of three big touchdowns for Samson Evans to tight end Austin Furbit, who's an Army recruit. And Prairie Ridge showed a little versatility and real impressive win on both sides of the ball.
They call for the hook and ladder in the first half. At the high school level, I've seen that backfire so fast. How about it? When a high school team tries a trick play and then all of a sudden it's six the other way. You got to be careful running those plays at high school.
Oh, and it was just executed so well. I mean, the kid barely had it on his fingertips. It was like a basketball touch pass. And, I mean, you know, just I guess they had a kid that they really trusted to run that play with.
You wrote about a handful of things coming into the season, and you wrote about a lot of things this week. You wrote about some things today. I thought the most interesting thing is the restructuring, and you know, we've lost some rivalry games. How many times this year will we swear at restructuring and the new rescheduling and all that? How many times will we be frustrated with that?
I think that the conversation is really only starting, as much as we've talked about it in the last few years on the show. There may be some big changes, or at least some proposals for some big changes coming in the next few weeks that, you know, that would aim to take place next year. We may see a Catholic, a private-public situation. We may see a proposal. I think we will see a proposal once again asking the state to redraw districts. So I think there's going to be a lot to talk about this year in the coming weeks.
Yeah, Southwest Suburban Conference, there's 13 teams now because they lost Lincoln Way North. They closed and essentially gave their team to Lincoln Way East, which we'll talk about in a second. But in the Southwest Suburban, there's like three tiers. And I don't, I mean, it's got to be so confusing to put these schedules together. And then when you get them, you look at them and you're like, yeah, I don't really like it that much.
No, I mean, a lot of, I think that's a case of a conference that is staying together because people can't find any place else to go. I mean, we're really at the tipping point in so many different regions of the area where teams just feel like they don't want to play against the bigger schools, so the bigger schools have a hard time scheduling. So you're finding a lot of people from a, you know, administrative standpoint and from looking ahead and scheduling standpoint who are disappointed on the top and the lower end. So we're really close to a tipping point, I think.
So Lincoln Way North closes last year. Didn't they go undefeated in the regular season, by the way?
They did. They won their first 11 games and lost the heartbreaker in the quarterfinals to Hinsdale South.
So that school closes up shop, which gives Lincoln Way East and their head coach, Rob Zvonar, more ammo for that weapon. I mean, you got 119 kids trying out for high school football at Lincoln Way East. Talk about you know, the situation down there in the Lincoln Way area where you lost a school, but somehow Lincoln Way East gets stronger and they benefit from this.
Well, yeah, all three schools really benefited. So all of the North kids went to East. Some of the East kids then moved over to Central, and some of the Central kids then went to West, West being the smallest of the schools initially, didn't lose any. So you're talking about three already good schools. You know, West made the finals in 5A last year. East is one of the year-in and year-out best programs in the area. And Central's an up-and-coming program with a real good coach. You know, so you got three schools that are even that much more dangerous. And what it does for East is really, I mean, they have a college-sized roster, great coaching staff, and like you said, already a really established team. You know, that's why they're number two right now. I really feel like you give it Rob Zvonar coach team that much depth, that many kids to work with, and you know that they have a chance to be a special team.
Mike Helfgott, lead preps writer, Chicago Tribune, with us on Preps Plus Chicago, brought to you by Lou Malnati's. You were at the game of the week. It was number 15 Prairie Ridge beating number 14 Cary Grove 26-14. Lovie Smith takes over in Champaign, right? And we both bleed orange and blue a little bit here and there. Have you noticed, have you heard, have you been told of an impact already as far as recruiting? Because I'm seeing Lovie Smith everywhere, and I'm seeing them in the running for some of the better players in Chicagoland. That didn't happen under Tim Beckman, Mike.
No, there seemed to be an initial boost for sure. I think the class of 17, the class of seniors now that he's bringing in, led by Ricky Smalling, brother Rice receiver, who's an exceptional player. I think this class is stronger than the last one, stronger than the last couple. And like you said, you're seeing them in on a lot of guys. You know, they almost got Isaiah Robinson, the four-star safety receiver who's going to Notre Dame. They're in the conversation a lot. And, you know, I think it remains to be seen. You know, the big question, I guess, with Lovie is how into recruiting is he going to be? How interested in tailoring to 17-year-old kids is he going to be? I mean, you know, his history, his, you know, the personality of the guy we saw as coach of the Bears wouldn't indicate that he's interested in that kind of thing. So we're going to really have to – it's going to see, you know, how passionately he recruits.
It is extremely early to do the Helfgott Heisman, but as far as guys that we can look at and forecast down the road by week 6, week 7, week 8, who are some of the better players we can expect to see in the headlines for your Helfgott Heisman this year?
Oh, I mentioned, too, Ricky Smalling, the receiver, brother Rice, Isaiah Robertson, the two-way player at Nicola Valley, receiver and defensive back going to Notre Dame. You know, not a super great year for quarterbacks. Samson Evans, the Prairie Ridge quarterback, who's a junior, you know, had a great sophomore year, 2,000 yards rushing. He's certainly a kid to watch. Tyler Pennington of Cary Grove is a two-way star, great running back, great linebacker on the high school level, a four-year varsity kid. You know, HF has a ton of talent. A lot of it, you know, guys who weren't starters or weren't top line players last year because they were just so loaded. So we'll see how they are. They have a running back named Justin Hall, who's a junior, who's expected to take over there for the Harley Hamptons. I would say the quote unquote newly coined Helfgott Heisman is really up for grabs.
I'm looking at this list of the top 10 players in Illinois. Lots of receivers. That's pretty rare. I mean, we've had some shining stars. We've had Laquan Treadwell at Crete Moni, Miles Boykin at Providence, but you've got a very, very nice bundle of wide receivers here in Illinois this year.
You do, and it kind of makes you wonder, you know, we touched on this in the preview today, makes you wonder, you know, I talked to Edgy for the article, how much basketball, how much the way football now is like basketball in the off season, where these receivers all get together and they play 7-on-7 together and they work on their skills, and how much the opportunity for guys who maybe were basketball players or maybe in the past would have leaned that way, understanding that there are more available scholarships in football. So you're seeing these 6'6 athletic tight ends like Jake Marwede at Loyola, like Cole Kmet at St. Viator, Logan Christopherson at Lamont. And you're seeing kids that maybe in the past would be basketball players really starring at tight end, and you know that maybe that's had something to do with this.
Last thing, Mike, and we appreciate your time always. Any crazy changes? I forgot exactly what happened. We don't have any more stupid alterations of the playoff format, do we?
None that I'm aware of this year. But
okay.
Like I said,
well, you never know. They can slip something in because it's 1 through 32, right? 1 through 32, they rank them now.
1 through 32, but I mean, this public-private thing may be real, and if it is, I mean that would be drastic.
Oh, so we'll have a private playoff and a public playoff, maybe.
Well, I mean, I don't know for sure that there's a proposal coming. There's rumor of a proposal coming. And, you know, and this would be the kind of thing, and I've got a source who is pretty tapped in who thinks it would have a great shot of passing if it was proposed.
All right. Well, I know you'll be on the beat. He's Mike Helfgott from the Chicago Tribune, brought to you by Lou Malnati's. Coach, good to talk to you. Happy New Year. We'll talk to you in week 2.
All right, Coach, my pleasure.
It's Mike Helfgott from the Chicago Tribune. Why do we call him Coach? I honestly have no idea. We've been doing it for 4 years. I think Jordan Burnfield, who used to host this show, accidentally called him Coach, and we just made a huge deal out of it. And Jordan was so embarrassed. He was mortified. Can't believe I called him Coach. It's not a big deal, Jordan. We will go around the horn. We've got about 3 or 4 reporters from the Chicago Tribune, from the Pioneer Press, out in the field. We'll get you posted. We'll get you more scores 10 minutes from now. It's Preps Plus. 720 WGN.
Chicagoland's only high school football scores, stats, and stories program. This is Preps Plus Chicago on 720 WGN.
Coming up on 10:50, Patty Vasquez, pretty late. She's up next. There are some of my guys. This is the part of the show where we rotate through some of the Tribune writers out in the field. Recognize some of these names. Good to talk to you again, Rich Mayer. How are you?
I'm doing good. How about you?
I'm good. On Twitter, at CityHall03. Nice game for you to go to week one. The defending champions, number 7, Phillips, they go on the road. They lose to Fenwick, 34-26. Unexpected, you would say.
Very unexpected. And Phillips was up 20-0 just 2 minutes into the second quarter. I mean, if you would have told me that Phillips was going to win by 45, I wouldn't have been surprised. But Fenwick, you know, they kept chipping, and they ended up winning late.
So 20-0. I understand they're on the road, a little bit different. I'm sure they hold on to that win at home, but why did they unravel? Because it's unlike this team who won a state title last year, Rich, to blow that big of a lead. I don't care where it is. That's still a big deficit, and they let Fenwick come right back in and sneak away.
Well, Phillips, their defense was their thing last year. They, you know, they allowed less than 7 points a game, and a lot of those guys left, and you know, the guys that are left are still good. But Fenwick, you know, Triton is actually their new home, and it will be for the next 10 years. All their home games will be played here. It was the first game since Johnny Lattner died, and his Heisman he donated to the school, so that was in the house. It just seemed like kind of a lot of things collided pretty well for Fenwick, and it seemed like a pretty magical night for them.
I've seen that Heisman like 5 different places in my life, the Lattner Heisman. Have you seen it before? You had to have.
I have seen it before. I touched it today. All the Fenwick players did that on their way onto the field today too. So, and they seemed in awe. They're very happy to be able to, you know, have this little tradition that they just started tonight and be able to do that every game going forward.
Final score, Fenwick upsets number 7, Phillips, 34-26. A nice win to kick off the season for the Fenwick Friars. Thank you, Rich Mayer.
All right, thank you.
Rich tags out. Let's tag in somebody else. How about Steve Reaven? Hey, Steve, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, Sam. Good to be back on with you guys.
It's good to hear all your guys' voices. Hinsdale South at Prospect. Prospect comes away with a win. What was the story? What was the final score?
Prospect ended up with a 2016 win. Late touchdown by quarterback Andrew Schaffus, an 8-yard run. Put them ahead for good, and they had a nice defensive stand to seal the deal.
I was surprised that Prospect, they have been making some deep runs. Hinsdale South is in sort of rebuild mode. Is that fair to say? It looks like Prospect had their problems with Hinsdale South.
Yeah, you know, different stories on both ends. Hinsdale South, 6A semifinalist last year, which was a great year for them, obviously. They lost 19 starters off that team, so they're reloading a little bit. They're young, and they made a lot of mistakes tonight. They had a PAT block. They had a punt blocked. So just kind of getting new people in. Prospect had a lot of kids back. They've only won 7 games the last 3 years. Going back to the last decade, they were one of the areas, you know, real powers with three state titles in the 2000s. And, you know, Coach Mike Sebastian likes their team. They run the ball well. They're physical. And they had a defense tonight that did what they needed to do when they needed to do it.
And we can count on you to do what you need to do when we need you to do it. Thank you for coming on, Steve. Final score, Prospect 20, and Hinsdale South, was it 16?
Yeah, 16. 20-16. Yeah.
We will talk to you in week 2. Thanks, Steve.
Sounds good, Sam. See you later.
Making his first voyage on Preps Plus Chicago, we welcome to 720 WGN Brett Christie on Twitter at BChristieDTH. He covered a nice one, Oak Park River Forest at Simeon. My boy John Hurster gets a win to open up the season. How are you, Brett?
I'm doing well, Sam. How are you doing?
What did Coach Hurster have to say? A man of not many words, but very concise words from time to time.
He was very reserved, but also very concerned the way they played in the second half. It was a pretty dominant performance by Oak Park River Forest in the first half, led 21-0. But then they were kind of sloppy in the second half. And Simeon got to 21-14 and had the ball near midfield with a chance to tie the game with about 2 minutes left. And the Oak Park River Forest defense was able to get a stand on fourth down, but still nervous moments for a game that didn't really feel close until it was close there in the closing minutes.
And that's what Oak Park has done since Coach Hurster has gotten there. They've been able to prevent teams from coming back into games. I know Simeon was down 21-0. That's still a talented, very athletic club. Mm-hmm. Coach Hurster's team able to put the clamps on them. And like you said, it was a little closer than it should have been, but they still took care of business. It wasn't like Phillips, who blew a 20-0 lead and lost at Fenwick. The Huskies still closed when it mattered.
Yes, absolutely. And the biggest difference in the second half was Simeon switched quarterbacks. It was kind of hard to figure out because the kid that switched in for quarterback for them, Alante Brown, wasn't even on the roster we were given. And Jayshon Jackson switched over to wide receiver, and he ended up finishing with a really nice night at receiver. And a sophomore, Alante Brown, led the Simeon offense, and they were dangerous and moved the ball a lot in the second half. But Oak Park did enough in the first half, and the quarterback Jeremy Hansu was coming back from an ankle injury that sidelined him last year for the second half of last season. Came back, and he played well for Oak Park River Forest, and in the end, they were able to do just enough, like you said, to pull out a victory in week one.
There's nothing like trying to track down names and numbers for somebody that you don't know in a high school football game. Trust me, I know exactly what it's like. Brett Christie, thank you very much. Oak Park River Forest 21, Simeon 14. We will talk to you down the road.
Awesome. That sounds great. Thanks for having me.
All right, Brett Christie, there he goes. We've got time for about a minute and a half. We've got Patrick McGavin making his first voyage on Preps Plus Chicago. Nice way to throw you into the fold, Patrick. Palatine Stevenson, two top 20 teams, a close one. What was the story?
The story was it was a great, just as we expected, a game of big plays on both sides, big-time players on both sides. There were, in the first half alone, there were four lead changes, five for the game. It was both teams scored on their first possession. Some really beautiful and striking individual performances on both sides. Aiden O'Connell, the Stevenson quarterback, was 23 of 43 for approximately 312 yards. A couple of big touchdowns, some interceptions that also sort of turned the tide. But Palatine, you know, as was down 20-14 at halftime, came out and scored two touchdowns about 3 minutes apart. They really turned the game. Their big running stud running back, Joshua Turner, who was really held in check throughout the first half, but he really exploded for a 31-yard run that set up a 1-yard plunge that gave Palatine the 21-20 lead with just over 3.5 minutes, maybe 4 minutes in the third quarter. And then really where the game really shifted was Stevenson came right back, appeared to be right on the verge of scoring its own kind of equalizer touchdown. They had a third and short at about the 14-15 of Palatine. Their fullback burst through, got to the 10, but unfortunately he fumbled. Palatine recovered the ball. And this young man, Dylan Tapia, who had a huge game, an interception and a fumble recovery, he recovered the fumble. On the ensuing play from scrimmage, Turner broke two tackles and went to the house for 90 yards. And that put Palatine up 28-20.
And that was 28-20.
That was just, but there were a series. I mean, Stevenson knocked on the door three more times, and then the game really ended in the final seconds. Stevenson had one final shot because it was obviously still a one possession game. Stevenson had a third and goal and a fourth and goal from the 3 yard line. They had, and they had two incomplete passes. The final one coming on the deep left corner, just over the receiver's head, and that game with 20 seconds to play, and that was the game right there.
So it sounds really like you got your money's worth, Patrick. 28-20,
absolutely.
Palatine beats Stevenson in a top 20 till. We got to step away. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
720 WGN.